Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17, joined now by Glenn Gilbo, editor of Tiger Rag, talk about LSU and Brian Kelly and the search for a new coach. How you doing, Glenn?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Before we get to that, let's talk about the rest of LSU's season and Frank Wilson and what it is that, you know, what he needs to accomplish in recruiting and NIL and transfer portal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, Frank Wilson is known as a great recruiter. That's why Brian Kelly hired him, and that's why he was under Les Miles' staff before that. And, I mean, he's perfect to kind of keep LSU's recruiting going, particularly the high school recruiting. And, you know, you got Austin Thomas, who kind of handles the portal. So those guys are both really key to keep everything afloat as far as the talent. Because, you know, if LSU goes for Lane Kiffin, Lane's liable to be coaching Ole Miss, you know, well into January. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs, so they really need Frank to hang in there, because you don't want to rush into a new coach just so you can save one class.
When it comes to name, image, and likeness money, that money is put up by whom, and that's still going to be there even if Brian Kelly is not there. And if a guy like Lane Kiffin comes in, is he likely to need a bigger pool of money than that? Tell me about all that, Glenn.
Well, I tell you, the boosters who and the friends of the program who supply a lot of the money for NIL, chances are they're going to be ready to spend more with a new coach, particularly somebody like Lane Kiffin, than they would have if Brian Kelly was still there, because they spent it all with Kelly last year and it didn't work. I think that's one of the reasons Kelly got fired. And yeah, Lane Kiffin is all about the portal, because he doesn't really focus on recruiting as much as he does on the portal. And Ole Miss for years has been ahead of LSU in NIL and the portal. So yeah, he would require a lot of that, but I think that would fit right in well with what LSU wants to do.
Is there any way that you can get a Lane Kiffin? Let me rephrase the question. Does the name, image, and likeness thing, the transfer portal, does that change the way or the time period for which you sign a coach, a head coach?
Well, it could. You know, that portal window is it's delayed now. It's into January, so that's kind of a break for LSU in getting a new coach, because last year it was December and all these people wanted to have their coach in early. And to me, that's a mistake. You don't rush to a coach just so you can have them for that recruiting class, whether it's from high schools or portal. You got to get the right coach. In a perfect world, you can get them early. You know, LSU is usually hiring their coach in late November, early December, but that might not be the case this year if they're in the Kiffin sweepstakes.
Glenn, when it comes to Lane Kiffin, would he want a long-term deal or not? And what's he looking at Ole Miss in terms of, what does his deal there say? Is somebody going to have to buy him out of that in addition to paying off Coach Kelly? How's that going to work out?
Yeah, that's where LSU's in trouble, I feel, because, you know, the word out of WDSU last night, Fletcher Mackle, was that a a booster, prominent booster, is going to pay off the Brian Kelly buyout of $53 million, which LSU is not going to get out of. So that booster's money would be better used for a new coach, right? Or for new players. So, yeah, that hurts it. But, yeah, Kiffin will require a long-term contract and a large salary. He's making $9 million at Ole Miss, and he's signed up there through 2031.
So,
he would be an expensive hire.
Somebody would have to buy him out, right?
Yeah, somebody would. Well, what happens sometimes when he probably has a buyout, he would have to pay Ole Miss, and usually a booster from the new school takes care of that.
Yeah, he's not going into his pocket for that.
No, I don't think so. No, so yeah, there's a lot of money to be spent by LSU, and they're going to be paying Brian Kelly for a long time.
So Lane Kiffin, everybody's in love with Lane Kiffin. In your opinion, is he the best choice out there? And if not him, are we going to be taking second best, Glenn?
I think he is the best choice out there. I wrote when they hired Brian Kelly that they should hire Lane Kiffin back 4 years ago. He's only 50. That would be the youngest coach LSU's hired since Nick Saban, who was 49 when they hired him. You know, I think part of Kelly's problem was he had kind of lost his hunger coming in at age 60. But if not Lane Kiffin, you know, there's some other great young coaches out there, like John Summerall at Tulane is 43. Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri is 42. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State's 35. Dan Lanning at Oregon's only 38, but I think that would be a step down for him or a lateral move. But to me, Kiffin is the best coach out there that could be available.
And LSU is a more attractive job than Ole Miss. Tell me why.
Well, it's not as more attractive as it used to be. Mm-hmm. That's why Lane stayed at Ole Miss instead of going to Auburn. Lane has really made Ole Miss a great program, and the NIL and the portal has brought parity everywhere. But I'll say this, Lane Kiffin knows that if he goes to Florida or if he goes to LSU, his pool of high school talent increases greatly. Mm-hmm. And if he goes to Florida, there's a lot of other schools there too trying to get the same players, but still a lot of players, you know, like Florida State, Miami. If he comes to LSU, it's the only school. And Louisiana has probably as many great high school players as the state of Florida has. And when you count Houston and surrounding areas, it definitely does. So the key thing that's different that would be a step up for Lane to go to LSU or Florida would be the recruiting base.
Nick Saban's got no interest in coming back to LSU, does he?
No, I don't think so. No, he doesn't like the NIL and the portal. He hated dealing with that. And I think he's enjoying retirement, and he's 70. He's fixing to be 74. So no, I don't think he's coming back. That's a pipe dream.
I'm looking at this story about Bet Online and some of the odds that they have, and they have Jimbo Fisher. If Scott Woodward were to hire Jimbo Fisher, I think they'd burn the campus down. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would think he should be fired quicker than Brian Kelly was.
So you hire him and you fire him on the same day to make it efficient? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that would be a ridiculous move by Scott Woodward. I mean, you're talking about an athletic director that is coming off the two biggest buyout blunders in college football history, back-to-back, Jimbo Fisher and Brian Kelly.
Tell me about Dabo Swinney. Would he have any interest in leaving Clemson? Would you like to see him as the LSU head coach?
That's a name I haven't heard. I don't think so. I don't think Dabo would be interested in that. I think he's pretty good at Clemson, and he's not really seen as a hot candidate because he's so anti portal and NIL, which I kind of like that he is. But it's,
well, you
it
like
hurt
it
him.
You like it philosophically, but not necessarily when it comes to winning, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like
Saban didn't like Saban didn't like the portal in NIL, but he still got into it. He knew he had to win.
It is what
Dabo
it is.
Dabo decided not to, and it hurt him.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't be a good hire.
It is what it is. If you had to look into that crystal ball, get that mahogany case out from under your bed, Glenn, the old Gilbo crystal ball has been handed down from generation to generation. You open it up, they got that purple velvet in there, and it's all padded up, and you take it out, you look into it. Who's going to be next that LSU coach?
Well, my hope is that it's Lane Kiffin, because he would be the first true offensive coordinator LSU ever hired. And he's young, he's interesting, he's a great coach. I think he'd be a great NFL coach. I think that's the guy to go get.
All right, let's hope. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Glenn Gilbo, editor of Tiger Egg. Tell me a little bit about Tiger Egg real quick.
TigerEgg.com, free website. I got a big piece on Lane Kiffin right now, and a lot on the Kelly firing, and we'll have more on both as the week goes on.
This is America. I'm a capitalist. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Gilbo, editor of Tiger Rag, 827.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quickly to traffic, WWL. 8:47, 13 till 9. Quickly to the birthday boys, Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. Happy birthday there, SG.
Thank you, Tommy. How you been, man?
I'm okay. Are we doing anything special to celebrate today or not?
No, nothing special today. When you get this old, birthday's kind of on the back burner. I'm sure this weekend maybe go out to dinner with the wife.
I thought Mrs. Geller might have had something planned for the big daddy of sports. I remember. See? Let's talk about the quarterback situation. What is going on? First off, the Saints just stretched yesterday, watched tape, I guess, and then today they're off, and then tomorrow we find out who gets the first team reps.
Yeah, right now the who's going to be the quarterback for Sunday is not clear yet. Kellen Moore said they will make a decision quickly, though. As like you mentioned, they need to get whoever is going to be the trigger man, those first team reps going into Sunday against the LA Rams. And for me, at this point, I want to see more from the rookie and Tyler Shuck. We saw a decent showing from Spencer Rattler to start the season. The last two games, though, have been a bonanza of turnovers. A lot of the same things we saw from last year, I feel, from him. And with the record of 1-7 now, you know the season, I hate to say, is a wash, but you know you're getting ready for NFL draft stuff, and you have to know what your rookie quarterback has that you took in the second round to see what you have, if you want to build around him or if you're going to end up using that top first round pick on another quarterback.
When's the trade deadline?
Comes November 4th, I believe, is the exact date.
You know, they got rumors all over the place, and I know sports writers have told me that sometimes they'll purposely write a story about a rumor and then generate a story about the denial and then another story because they're under content pressure to produce content. I'm not saying you do that, but I'm just wondering if the Saints are actively really shopping anybody, or do you know?
I don't feel like the Saints are actively shopping any players right now, but there's definitely been those reports of teams calling with interest on a number of guys. We keep hearing Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, even some of the defensive players, possibly like a DeMario Davis, Pete Werner. That's going to be a question mark because at this point you're trying to acquire some assets for this NFL draft coming up to get an influx of some talent for this team, because right now you can just see things are not working. The offense has just grinded down and is just struggling to get into the end zone. I mean, we saw things during training camp where we were kind of tipped off to this. The inability to get into the end zone was prevalent, but man, things are bad right now, averaging just 16 points a game through the first, you know, eight tries here, and that's way down from their numbers over the last 2 years. It's significantly gone down from the Pete Carmichael offense to the Clint Kubiak offense to now Coach Kellen Moore's offense, just not getting into the end zone. So I'm all about trying to deal away whatever you can at this point. There's nobody that's untouchable to me as you try to get some draft picks to try and boost this squad for next year.
So if the Saints were to do that, that would mean, look, we're giving up on this season. We're in it for the draft choice. Draft choices, do you think that is the mindset there on Airline Drive or not?
No, definitely not. And I don't think they'll ever come out and say that. You know, they're trying to build for now next season. Their focus is definitely on winning right now. And I know fans are frustrated at this point and thinking about, you know, the value of draft picks and young players coming in. But this team's never going to say, hey, they're checked out and moving on to next season, especially with a new head coach in Kellen Moore, who's trying to instill his culture here right now, which has just been a rough go altogether.
Yeah, along those lines, what is the Kellen Moore culture? Because, you know, I heard the frustration in Deuce's voice on Sunday. You heard it as well. About not being able to line up properly, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me about that, and what is the Kellen Moore culture?
Yeah, I think that it's not easy to identify that right now. What we've seen from this team has been, and you know, I'll use the words from Deuce, calling it sloppy right now, and you can't even line up correctly.
Deuce was angry on Sunday. You know that. Deuce was angry on Sunday at what he saw.
Yeah, it's to the point, too, now. It's like I went through the anger phase, and now it's really disappointment watching things, how it's been unfolding for this squad. And I can't pinpoint what the issues are. I know, you know, the offensive line's a work in progress, but a guy like Alvin Kamara right now, who used to be, I said he was in the Matrix with the moves we saw him pulling off, being able to, you know, gain these huge chunk plays. It hasn't happened this year. He hasn't been a factor at all. And I keep waiting for a breakout game from him, and it's just not going. But for Kellen Moore, you talk about culture. I know he wants this team to play, you know, tough, hard, as a cohesive unit, but just we haven't seen any of that translating right now. It's been really frustrating.
If you think Tyler Shuck is going to throw the ball 51 times and the Saints are going to rush it 15 and the Saints are going to win against L.A., you know that's not going to happen. You got to have a running game to help him out.
Yeah, and the last two games has just been non-existent, and I understand when you fall behind, you got to play catch-up, so you got to throw the ball around a lot more. But this last game was really head-scratching because, you know, we were 7-3 at halftime, and it seemed the team had abandoned the run game already. You know, we kind of joked with Sean Payton when he was here at head coach, was pass-happy, and that just seems to be a Kellen Moore's mantra right now. It just seems to be all about getting the ball down the field with the quarterback, and it's not working.
Is he who we see he is? Do you ever see him, and I mentioned this the other day, smashing stuff up with a baseball bat like in Moneyball, like Brad Pitt, and then just throwing a bat on the floor and walking out or anything like that to get their attention?
No, that fiery, angry guy you haven't seen from Kellen Moore yet, and I keep waiting for something maybe from the TV cameras to catch him on the sideline, but he's very stoic, calm, cool, collected, and I don't know. I don't even know if Kellen Moore yells at his kids at home.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do it in public, but it wouldn't surprise me for something to go on behind the doors like that where there would be some kind of dramatic display of, do I have your attention now? But that's just my opinion. I don't know. Hey, thank you, Steve. Have a great birthday, all right?
Thank you, Tommy.
Appreciate it. All right, Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director, 855, 5 till 9, Traffic Now, WWL.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.